The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Second step. I'm not asking. Look for vision. Thank you. What's the third step? Spontaneous thoughts. And what's the last one? Journaling. So you quiet yourself, but still, and that also gives place to meditation. That gives you access to meditate. To you is that it will convey to you the mind of Christ. And when we meditate as believers, our own meditation is different. We take it from Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. He said, Joshua, if you want to conquer this city, you must first of all start your meditation. You know, we have divided our lives into different places. Say, this is my church life. This is my school life. Okay, this is my secular life. This is my spiritual life. There's nothing like that. Jewish tradition, they didn't divide a man into different parts. They see you as a whole person. So if you keep separating what you call your church life from your secular life, or your work, your life at the marketplace, and then you separate it from your life in church, you're going to make a blunder, life blunder. So if I want to marry, I must begin to look at scriptures and begin to use scriptures to change and renew my mind. He said, Joshua, you want to pick that city, you must spend time to meditate. What is meditation? The meditation ends up opening your mind to begin to think about life the way God thinks about it. Pastor Ben will say, if you want to go to heaven, you believe in Jesus. But if you want to bring heaven to earth, you must believe like Jesus. So believing in Jesus is salvation. Believing like Jesus is sanctification. Okay. So how many of us want to bring heaven to earth? Bringing heaven to earth simply means, because I'm talking about marriage and family, I'm going to put it in marriage and family. The relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You want to bring that relationship to earth. Meditation is what will help you. Romans 12 verse 2, you were here when Dr. Barco was talking about anakinosis. Do not conform. Don't allow your life be patterned according to the ages of this world. He said, be ye transformed by the renovation of your mind. Now, we have different ages and different times. There was a time you heard the baby boomers. There was a time you heard about the millennials. I heard that the age we have now is, they call it whether crisis times or whatever it is. We are at different stages in life. If you did a little bit of literature, there was a time they called the Renaissance period. There was a time they called the Medieval period. There was a time they called the Dark Ages. So even at this time where we are, where many of you are the millennials, the people who were born just about when the war started talking about the going towards the millennia and who were born after that. The way you reason, the way you learn, everything about you is different. Now, if you are not careful, you can conform your mind and your life to that age. That's why the Bible says, if this is what this age looks like, do not conform to this age. If this is the way they think, if this is the way everything they do it according to this pattern. You know, they say something is raining, say something is in vogue. He said, do not conform, don't allow your life to be shaped by what is in vogue. For instance, it's almost becoming in vogue that if you're dating someone, you will sleep with the person. The Bible says, no, do not allow yourself to take that shape. It's almost becoming in vogue that you can have a relationship with someone that is same sex with you. It's in vogue.
do not take that shape. And so you have to go beyond that shape. For you to go beyond it, he says, meditate. It's meditation. So as a young person who wants to recognize his mate, because you don't know who God, who you want to marry, the person's name is not of the Bible. For you to be able to recognize a person, your mind must think like the mind of Christ. That's what. And how do you meditate? They told you, the second thing you do is use your mind and use the scriptures and paint pictures in your mind. If you are, assuming you are reading John chapter 4, where the woman was sitting at the well, use your mind and create that scene. Remove the woman at the well. Or use John chapter 3, where Nicodemus came to see Jesus. Remove Nicodemus and put yourself, and use your mind and create the entire picture. And then, spontaneous thoughts are thoughts that just pass through your mind. You didn't think about them, it just blew through. Put it in writing. If you want to hear from God, you must spend a lot of time with him. Because he said, the sheep that belongs to me hears my voice. So the standing and the starting point for having a mate, for recognizing your mate, is opening your relationship with God in one key. How is your relationship with God? It is your relationship with God that you're going to share with men. If you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't know how to relate with God, you don't know how to relate with anybody. That's the first key. Why am I dwelling on this? I'm dwelling on this for one reason. Listen, if you don't have a relationship with God, to mess up with anybody will be very easy with you. If you have a relationship with God, what you'll always say in your mind is, I will not want to offend the heart of the one I love. You are not obeying God because of rules. You are obeying him because of love. There is the law of love and the love of law. So if people who are not kingdom minded are sleeping with the people that they are not married to and doing some dirty deal with them, you can't be found around them. It doesn't make sense. It means that the entire care of other places, mind renovation, they didn't come from. The second thing to do if you want to recognize your mate is to say, one, what is your purpose in life? Personal self-recognition. What did God put you in this world to do? Once you don't know what you came to this world to do, you will abuse yourself very well. You know something about purpose? Because when you love, you are loving on purpose. Because you also live life on purpose. Here's what purpose does for you. If you come into a room, let's assume that this room, this entire hall, is filled with all kinds of things, from the automobile industry, to banking, to entertainment, to media, to all the spheres of society, is filled here. And then you come into this place and they tell you, choose the things you need. If you don't have a purpose, you can come into this place and then you see the latest Timberland boots, the latest. And they say, pick 5 things you need. You can go for that Timberland boot first. If you come into this place and they say, pick 5 top priority things for your life. If you don't have a purpose and you see the latest iPhone, maybe let me assume that you're a musician. In that hall, there is a music teacher, there is a keyboard, there are some things that is pertaining to music, and then there are things that pertain to showing off, bling bling and all of that. And you come into that room, you're going to pick the wrong things. You won't pick the things that concern you. The thing about having a purpose also is like you are at Benin Airport. You are going to Lagos. And while you are Benin Airport going to Lagos, all of a sudden, you look around and you see your finest, you see Davido at the airport. You say, Jesus, what a miracle. You just go and stand beside him to try to hear where he's going. And maybe he's going to Abuja. You have no business with Abuja. The kind of person you are. Okay, he is going to Abuja. You are supposed to be going to Lagos. You are supposed to be going to Abuja. He's going to Lagos. The kind of person you are, you don't like Lagos because of the traffic, because of the way life is done. But you can leave where you are going and follow him to where he's going because you love the job of having his emotion.
The second step is that you must be able to answer the question, why was I born? What was I born for? What am I supposed to do with my life? Microphone. If I use it as such, I am using it. It's put to use, but it has been put to abnormal use. If you don't define your why, marriage will put you to abnormal use. Because the person you're going to marry is supposed to be a complementation. One person, two of you are complementing each other. If you're going to, you're a girl, you're marrying a man, you're coming as a man's help meet. So, which means whatever the man is doing, you are going to complement it, and the complementation is also supposed to reward you somehow. You must be able, and I have noticed through life, and I'm going to ask our pastor to run a program for us. There's something you used to call it discovering your unique advantage. My little time with young people, I have discovered again and again that in 3 seconds, many of us are not able to answer the question, who am I? What on earth am I here for? I discovered someone that got married, couldn't answer that question. And I asked him, on what basis and standards did you used to marry? Because the basis and standards for getting married is to say, if I am a microphone, if you're a microphone, what will you need? A microphone goes with an amplifier. Is that not correct? Am I talking to someone? If you have a software, where do you put software? Eh? On a computer. Now imagine now that you carry software and put it inside a pot of bricks, and you're using it to put software. You put it inside a pot of bricks. Those two things don't go together. You must know. You must have a personal recognition of your purpose before you say this is who. Marriage is not market, oh. Marriage is not market. Marriage is not cure for desert places conference that starts one day and ends another day. It's not an event. If you go downstairs now, you will see that the hall looks like heaven on earth. That is not marriage. That is an event. Marriage is a process that begins before you meet someone else. If the process has not started, you meet someone else, two of you have committed suicide before the marriage started. Number three. The first one is your communication with God. The second one is your personal purpose. The third one is now begin to visualize. Now that you know your purpose, begin to visualize. What kind of person, I'm going to interact with you. What kind of person do you want to marry? What kind of person do you want? I want to start. It's not to catch you. It's less rob mine. Say, you, what kind of person do you want to marry? Can someone help me? Okay, there, yeah, someone here wants to talk. Okay, what kind of person? Visualize. Give me a picture. Visualize. Yes. Okay, now that's all you ask. Give me a visual picture of the person you want to marry. So, you. What kind of person do you want to marry?
Reasonable. For me, generally, it would be that someone who will share like minds. Physically, okay, don't be a giant, because I'm really small, so I would want someone who's like physically really intimidating. That's one. See, not overshadowing. My husband should be taller, right? But don't be physically intimidating to me.
Number two.
Yeah. And then number two.
And he doesn't want someone that is physically intimidating. Number two.
Yeah. Number two, basically, I would really. Someone who share like minds. Because okay. I'm chatty, so.
Okay, someone who will share like minds. So who will be talking?
Yes, when I'm having a conversation, you are on my pedestal of conversation.
Okay. That people will be talking or the person will be listening?
Both.
Okay.
Will be able to respond to me, okay. And would also hear me.
Okay, you respond and hear, number three. Okay, I've given us two. That's beautiful. Any other person, have you written that? She said, don't be intimidated, don't be too massive. And number two, I like to talk. You see, notice that she knows what she likes to do. Because sometimes,
some of us, you get into marriage, you get into relationship, in a bit to quickly marry, you are someone that likes to talk like me, you keep quiet. The person, you will not bring your fake self, your fake best self, you will bring it forward. Okay, let's say, the kind of person you want to marry. I thought you raised your hand.
Praise God. Yes. My first requirement that I require from the lady I want to marry is she must have enough spiritual capacity.
So we have found that one now.
2 years.
Okay, now write it down. Enough spiritual capacity. He will explain it to us. The person must have enough spiritual capacity. Write it down. Number two.
No, I mean, she must first of all know how to hear from God herself. That's the first thing. First.
Number two. Number don't mind two. Them. In singles music, that's our number two.
Then number two. After that, then she must be responsive. She must possess abilities that are responsive to my purpose in life.
Okay, she must. We have said those two. We are now in begin to visualize.
Okay.
Give us a visual picture. Before you give us the spiritual
physical,
start from physical and then just to visualize.
For physical, I really don't do that. I mean,
okay, you don't care.
Yes, I don't care. But so far, if our spiritual life is intact and the other one, I can manage anything.
Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love you all too. I love you all too. Now my, this is his choice. He has a right. See, the first speaker said he doesn't want you to be a giant. He himself can decide that the kind of person he wants to marry, in addition to every other thing he has said, that he will want a girl whose backside is big, whose front side is big. Share. You did say no. Give me a microphone. Did I hear you say no now?
I didn't even understand that you were asking about the physical characteristics. I won't have answered, but I mean, it's personal.
That one is personal. But since you're already standing, the court is now asking you. See, okay. I have a lawyer there now. Praise the Lord. Where are my lawyers in church? I will soon hold you contempt of who you grant.
Hallelujah. Okay, she must be very beautiful. Very. I mean, that one is non-negotiable. She must be very beautiful.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, when you say very beautiful, hey! Jesus. Fem builders. They are asking, the girls are asking, is it makeup beautiful or natural beautiful? The reason I'm telling you now, praise the Lord, the reason I'm telling you these days, women, we do miracles or without God. You can see me at night, my hair can reach here. You see me in the morning, I don't have hair at all. You can see me, my hair can get there. You can see me tomorrow, my Botox is on top of there because that's artificial enhancement. We have one to enhance. One of my daughters had this thing is flat. I saw her one day. The thing has grown. I said, did you grow fat overnight? Eh? Only for me to discover. I had to go, my dear, God bless you. I discovered that the thing, the girl that's in me. I said, come. What is happening? I discovered that she added unique advantage. So, is it natural beauty or makeup beauty? Which one?
Natural beauty.
Natural beauty. Okay.
And she must be moderately endowed. I said moderately.
Praise the Lord. Okay. I don't know why relationship program used to cause so much wahala. Praise the Lord. Why does relationship program cause a lot of wahala? You know, God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, verse 24, 14, he said, look up
as far as your eyes can see. The same principle applies here too. In your mind today, you must be able to look up. Listen, don't marry for where you are. Marry for where you are going. The person you meet today might not look beautiful. The person you meet today might not do it. I'm talking about when I met Pastor Ben. I shouldn't go there. Listen. The children are warning me now. We're of age. Don't go there. I should go there. So, you must have a visual picture in your mind that you want the person, what the person should look like. Sometimes in God's sovereign will, that picture you have might not. You know, God's sovereign will, sometimes God will just do something all by himself. That picture might not be exactly what you will get, but it's important to have a visual picture. Now, I'm not telling you to find out the most ugly person and marry. I'm saying that the person that you're going to marry, there must be a little bit of chemistry. It's something you look and say, I like. And beauty is in the eyes of beholder. One man's pomo is another man's. Okay. So you can see someone and say, this person is wow. Another person say, now this one they call wow. So you must watch out for that. The next thing you're going to share, because our time is almost up, someone with same mindset with your future goals. Two cannot work together except they agree. That's in Amos chapter 3, verse 33. And Proverbs chapter 27, 17, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend to show rage or worthy purpose. The person who is coming into your mind must have same minds with your future goal. Someone that should make you a better person. Iron sharpened iron. Someone that can sharpen you. Someone that can say, no, no, no. You know, some of us, you have excesses. Someone that can put him at, you see this, will not take us to the ear of upgrade, like we say in our location. Someone that can sharpen your countenance. Someone that can sharpen your attitude and your mood. So, someone can help you highlight. You see this rage. It's not going to follow us. We can't talk about marriage when we have this rage. Someone that can do that. What are your future goals? So, what I'm saying, that don't think about recognizing any partner if you don't have goals. In fact, as friend builders, all of us, we have a book of our goals. We have a book. If you don't know how to set your goals, you can go and put your name down. If you have up to 50 people, pastor will bring out someone to coach you on how to set your goals. Some of the things we are, this church will have goals. Written. Once Cure for Desert Places is starting, Pastor Ben, our lead pastor, puts on everybody, plan goal. He won't give you plan. What is it God has said to you concerning this location? He's not going to give you his own. That thing God has said to you, put it down and let it be smart. And that's what you're going to want. The project manager for this year, Pastor Stanley, have goals. You can't say you want to marry. You must have goals. You must have 5 years goal. Start from 1 year, then go to 2 years, have 5 years, have 10 years, have 20 years goal. The thing it helps you to do, your goal determines who should be your friends. He that walketh with the wise will be wise. A company of fools will be destroyed. If you have goals, it helps you to know who should come into your life. Amplified version says, he who associates with fools is a fool himself. Your goal determines where you go. Your goal, please give me some one. Your goal determines where you go. Your goal determines whether you club or not club. Your goal determines what you wear. You must have life philosophy. And for us who are kingdom people, thank you, my dear. I like it, Message Bible. That's why our goal must be kingdom-minded goal. It is your goal that determines where you worship. It is your goal that determines who pastors you. It is your goal that determines where you walk. He said, how well God must like you. You don't hang out as sin salon. So sin has salon. And what do they do in Saint Salon? They shave your hair or they do your hair according to darkness. If you don't have gold, you hang out at Saint Salon. He said, you don't sling along dead end road. If you don't have gold, you will end up at a dead end road. There is a way that seemed right onto a man. I said, you don't go to Smart Mouth College. If you don't have gold, you end up here. If you don't have gold, you can, as you are moving like this, you see your friends in front of a beer parlor. You draw chair, you can gist from morning to night, and time is moving. Pastor Ben said, he asked, he phoned someone, say, ah, when are we starting the program? So it's another 5 minutes. Say, where are you? Say, no, Papa, I'm 5 minutes away from you. He said, I'm waiting for the person. 30 minutes. When the person arrived, he looked at the person, and there was no wristwatch. Now I said, so how did you know that you're 5 minutes away? Some of us, you give appointment. To that time, the appointment you're giving is arbitrary appointment in your heart. You must have go where you're going. So that you know this is just in time. This is time to stop this thing. This is this. This is, all of that is negotiated by your goal. The next one is point number 12. You must improve yourself. You want to recognize your mate, you must improve yourself. I love the scripture on Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. Remember, the dullard the axe, the harder the work. You can believe that, you can experience chapter 10, verse 10, maybe message Bible and the 5 version. Ecclesiastes 10, 10. Remember, the dullard the axe, the harder the work. You listen to me, your life is an investment of opportunities. Your life is a battle axe in the hand of Almighty God. Whatever it is you are doing, you must sharpen yourself. You must be able to use your head. You must be able to use your brains so that you use less muscles. If I ask you to do something, just run and come. Say, I've done it. I say, you haven't exhausted all the options. And for you to be able to exhaust options, you must have systemic thinking. Life works in systems. Life does not, listen, if you look at everything in this church, they are all systems that are connected together. When last year for desert places, something happened and the entire thing went off. The microphone went off and everything about the sound went off. That's the moment Bato, 2 years ago, stood on the altar. Life is a system, friends. Look at your body. Everything God created, He created in a system. You have your respiratory system, you have your digestive system, you have your reproductive system. If you don't do systemic thinking, you might get into trouble. Systemic thinking is to see that this thing that is happening here is not happening in isolation. There must be something here that is controlling here. So when you take care of this, that has been taken care of. I don't want to go into anything. I want to talk about self-improvement. I told you, your pastor is continuously in school. It's either he's coming out of one course or he's going through another one. Either he's preparing curriculum. Now, listen, you must improve yourself. And how do you improve yourself? You go back again. What is your life goal? How do you divide your life goal? You must determine your purpose. If you can't determine your why, you can't write goals. If you don't have goals, you can't improve yourself. Me and Pastor Tony decided I wanted to be medical doctors. We failed until we concluded that it is someone that took our brain and went to the coma. That's our conclusion. We failed until the people who were older than by 10 years came to meet us in the class where we were writing this thing. Yes, we told ourselves, we must, after some time, two of us said, oh boy, if I tell you no, what you do this thing, no, go find what you do. What do you like? He said, fire. What do you like? I say no. We enter. In less than 4 years, we have acquired this certificate. But it took us more than 10 years to come to this self-realization. What are you working on now? Now, you can't be associated with us and you're not into self-improvement. There are training that is going on in this church, continuous training. It's either we're training or inner healing. In fact, even in this church, those of you who are creatives, there is even a training for you. There is nothing we do in this ministry that there is no training. So most of the things they came to teach us are things you have heard before in one training or the other. As the conference was going on, there are breakout sections. Yesterday, there was a breakout section on politics. government. And so how many of us went to that chain? You cannot just be going from where they say, fall down and die, fall down and die. People have fallen down severally. Listen to me. Our challenge is our human capacity problem. If 70% of our human resource in Africa are within your age, it simply means that if this workforce is not trained, we're not going to have competent, skillful experts to do the things we need to do. Life is not just about love. Now that you have fallen in love, you are to the person, people have held hands. I love you. I love you too. I love you. You have sung all the love songs. Are you going to carry that relationship in your hand physically now and be going around life? Love, it is in the heart, they feel it. They don't hold it in the hand to move away. This sister that sold my clothes that I wore yesterday, is it love? He's holding and saying, I'm in love. No matter how you are in love, it's in the, we're not seeing it. And we're not going to ask you, sister, how much in love are you? It is not how much in love you are that determines how development happens in Africa. If we're going to shift the continent of Africa from what is happening now to what is going to happen, all of us, you must tell yourself you are a battle axe. You must go and sharpen yourself in those skills. And listen to me, righteousness, peace, and joy, that's the culture of the kingdom. For that culture to take effect in our society, if you work in a place you are competent, they can't do without you. Listen. Jesus, what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that Joseph was in the palace. They couldn't do without him. You can't throw me away. You can't throw my Jesus away. It means you must accept me and my Jesus. And if you accept me and my Jesus, as long as I'm in this office, I will keep releasing Jesus and the presence of God in the place. But a lot of us are mediocres. We are expecting God to jump down from heaven and come get things done for us. Anything you are doing and you're part of us, listen to me, we are a strong workforce. And that strong workforce means that you must understand that work is worship. And if work is worship, my God, improve yourself. And if you're an auto mechanic engineer, please go from, you learned it from the road, to now skill. I met a very strong keyboardist. I said, very strong, many years back. I said, this thing you are learning, can you teach someone? He said, I can't teach you to. He said, how did you learn it? He said, the person that told me, he said, man, I gave you God. So I was looking at him. Listen, if that's how you learn, you must get out of that place and put structures and systems in the things you are doing so that you can take that skill and exploit it. How do we cook a egusi soup? Your mama teach you by the look me. Now time has passed. People are now putting it on internet. You can now have your own secret spice. Kentucky Fried Chicken, they have their own secret spice. They have their own. McDonald's, they have their own. You must have your own, the thing that is native to you, that is your brand, that you can export. So which means you must begin to systemize even how to sweep. There is a movement, I won't mention their name. If you go to their office, on the mirror, when you finish using the bathroom, steps on what to do, with the whole place is put in there. There is a system, there is a systemized way of cleaning. Not with the clean, there is a systemized way. Who are the people who can package it properly so that sweeping will not have cleaning? Will not have respect. Improve yourself. What course are you reading now? What are you training on? Can you say you're a musician? You can't play any instrument. You can't play anyone. When they say key, you know, when they give you the key, you don't know whether it's key or top they gave you, whether it's key or binary, you don't know. A complete artist, you can sing, you can play, you can dance. Now, many of us have learned one. What about the others? You're getting quiet on me. The fourth one, you must avoid fear. Every relationship that creates anxiety is not for you. And most of us run relationship in such a way that anxiety, there is too much anxiety. If our connection has anxiety, you know something about love? Love and fear can't dwell in the same place. They are enemies of each other. If the way I'm relating with you, thank you, Jesus, is creating anxiety, we need to do something about the anxiety. You know what? The foundation for a healthy relation, I'm not talking about relationship that says, my pastor is very high on inner healing. In fact, from next year, to join Faith and Love, first of all, go to inner healing. Those of us who are here, we have been told, all our leaders, first of all, to inner healing. You know why? If you're not healthy, you'll cause me pain. And you'll cause me pain and not know you're causing me pain. Because a pauper is anybody who was born with a sense of insignificance. I'm talking about someone born with wealth or not born with wealth. You were born at the place of birth. You came to this world with a sense of insignificance. You don't know you have a real purpose. You don't know that people listen to you. You don't know that your words hurt people. You don't know that your actions hurt people. So once you do something, it causes us pain. So the foundation for a healthy relationship or marriage is unconditional acceptance of each other. You can't say, oh, I didn't know. You must make a choice. And when it has to do with love and relationship, unconditional acceptance is that if I make a decision and there is a mistake, I choose to take responsibility for that mistake. As when began to teach us about powerful people and powerless people, he told us to read a book, Switch On Your Love, or Switch Your Love On. Keep Your Love On. And one of the things we must put in your hands as we begin to close your section is for you to hear this one. A powerful person is someone who makes decisions and abides by the consequences of those decisions. It's a powerful person. Who is a powerless person? A powerless person is continuously doing something. He makes decisions and starts looking for who to blame. He blames on circumstances, blames on people. A powerless person, not only that, a powerless person is also a person who will not make decisions at all. The person will want you to make decisions for him so that if anything goes wrong, they will blame you. You are the one that made decisions. You are the one that made me to do it, just like Adam did. In relationship, there are three people. The bad guy, the rescuer, and the what? And the victim. Thank you. Who is the bad guy? Who is the rescuer? There are some people, when you get into a relationship with them, it is all about domination and manipulation. They make a decision, you pay for it. You make a decision, you pay for it. You can't hear, I'm sorry. I'm sorry is a difficult thing to say. The victim is a person who always says, oh, it has happened to me. You did it to me. And there is always looking for. Some of us play victim roles in relationship. And when it has to do with victim roles, it just simply means you have not been able to fill the vacuum in your soul because you're not satisfied so in the disaster waiting to happen. Everybody God created you at the place of birth, he put something inside you. But nature and circumstances and even the original sin, for those of you who are not born again, removes those things. Repackages and redesigns you. If the hole, the emptiness inside you is not filled, you get into relationship. Everybody is in trouble. Three things can create that hole. The first one is when people sin against you at childhood. The second one is your own sin. It can create a hole in your heart. See, if you are addicted to porn, what's going to happen? You see, the hole in your heart is meant to be filled by God, with God. I have this bottle. It's filled with water. Now, if this bottle is leaking, no matter how much water you put inside it, it won't be filled. And nature hates vacuum. If inside your soul, of course your soul is what makes you, is the middle part between the spirit and the body. It is with the soul you reason. It is with the soul you decide. It is with the soul you feel. It is, and all of that, and all of that. There are 12 different gates of the 12 different gates in your soul, according to Dr. Bako. Now, what happens, my friends? Your worldview is in your soul. Your mindset is in your soul. Mindset and mentality is in your soul. Your disposition is in your soul. Your relational skills in your soul. If your soul is fragmented, about 45% of you is already out. It means that you will struggle through life. Why am I talking about fear and all of this? If you have a relationship that is perpetuated with fear, please get out of the relationship. If you have fear of, hey, the relationship will break, oh, I don't want the relationship to break. If I do like this, it will break. If I do like that, it will break. If I do like this, it will break. It means that you are already living in tension. So what happens is that this is not you. Like my pastor, there's a way for some people to pastor and say, this is not you. So a relationship that brings out the worst in you. A relationship you pretend that this is who you are. The person says, I don't like a woman that talks too much. Like that, my daughter says, I like to chat. You go there, you want it. You like it. You don't like it. Meanwhile, you like to talk. What you're telling yourself is, who will bring me out from this bondage? Ah, this marriage day will come, so. This marriage day will come, so. The moment they marry you, the lion has been let out of the cage. If you're a thief, steal it now. So that the person will know that he married a thief. Do you understand? Listen, the person can marry you like that, oh. I'm telling you, I wish Dr. Norma, Mr. Norma, he said, when Mr. Norma was going to marry the person she married, he said, I want to, I said, this is my daughter, that way. She has temper. He said, I have already seen it and it's okay for me. I said, Jesus, in heaven, you are very wonderful. So, he cannot now come and tell me, Mama, you lied to me, you are a liar, you are a liar. You show me someone that has temper. I said, you say to me. So, if you're a thief, you go to the boy's house or the girl's house, steal the thing immediately. And tell the person, please, I'm a thief. So that when the person will now decide if he wants to marry a thief or not. As against you pretend that you don't steal anything, you are married, they now marry you. Something starts missing. Two or three will be in anxiety. They are looking for the thief. And then the boy now discourages you. Why didn't you tell me you're a thief now? He said, if I tell I'm a thief, you will leave me. I don't want, listen, the relationship will come under constant tension. Don't pretend who you are not. Don't claim that your house is in Lekki when you are living in Upper Samamba Ubuyoko End. Guys, don't fear your way because you want a girl to marry you. Don't go and borrow Timberland shoe and borrow Versace belt and then you're talking. The person says, yes, I'm a mother. Don't borrow anything you don't have. Let the person know. Even in Kiyi, they will say, you borrowed it from your friend. If the girl now decides he wants to marry a borrower, it is her choice. Whether na mechanic, now my choice. Whether na 419, now my choice. Whether na choir member, now my choice. Oh, now my choice. Oh. It's your choice. But you know, sometimes God will twist this thing around. We are just giving you principles and guidelines. Because the person I married a banker, I was very happy. You know the fizzy. If you saw my husband in the bank, you said would like to marry. He go dress well, put perfume. And then when he walks, the back of his leg, you know, they put down. I like what I saw. From nowhere, he said he's now a lecturer. That thing scattered my head. I couldn't imagine it. I asked my pastor, okay, lecturer. I said there was nothing wrong with being a lecturer. But that was not my choice. You see, that in the beginning of all these choices, you must create allowances for what God wants. When he became a lecturer and he was passing away, he was lean. When he wear belt, that wasn't fitting him again. He would put the thing, I would look, I said, how about this man, I go marry like this. Many of my brothers said, I don't want to marry a pastor. I don't want to marry a pastor. And I said, so what is wrong with marrying a pastor? Pastor, is there anything wrong with us? Are we mad people? You know that some of them who got married, it is after marriage that their husband became pastor. So you must make allowances for God's will, whatever it is you are doing. Then the last point, I want all of us to know that the person you're going to marry is different from you. And men and women have points of differences. When a man is born, within after the first few months, that is between maybe month 1 to month 4, he has a testosterone bath on his brain. His brain is soaked. So one part of his brain is damaged. So men are born with brain damage. No, it's science. You can go and check it out. So one part of their brain is damaged. Why a woman can move between, I don't want to say the right part and the right, because why the woman can do verbal and visual at the same time. The woman can multitask. Man is not built like that. There are physiological differences between men and women. Why a lot of men are achievement oriented. A lot of women are emotionally oriented. I didn't say all, but most times, men, when it has to do with communication of information, men are different from women. The person I married is like that. He's holding his phone. They're talking weird. He starts annoying me. And then he finishes. Everything is a weird. And then when you are talking, most times they are. Thank you. When you finish, it used to cause problems for me. I will finish. I like to talk. I like to chat. I'm waiting for response. He keeps quiet. I said, how person would they talk to you? Finish talk, no answer. He said, the thing you are saying, now let me first of all reason it. I said, use your mouth and tell me you are reasoning it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We are not the same at all. I could just read us some part of our differences. Let's read this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. Like Amplified version would be nice. It says, okay, I read this, just go to Amplify. It says, when they observe, maybe we should start from verse 1 so we'll understand what they are talking about. And then question and answer. How to recognize your mate? From verse 1 would be nice. In like manner, married women. Okay, this is for married women. Let me leave it on to you. Okay, we should read it. And likewise, you married women, be submissive to your husband, not to your boyfriend. Okay, I need to make a difference. The boundaries of our relationship is honor. The boundaries of our relationship is honor. If that is anything to go by, as a kingdom person, you must begin to develop kingdom values, kingdom practices, kingdom way of life that you're going to use to negotiate your relationship. As an Igbo person growing up in Igbo land, we had Igbo culture that you use to negotiate everything you do, that culture, that way of life, that practice, those values. The same way, now that we're no more in the world, that have been translated from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. You must, in this place, listen, in this place, the values, the practices, the beliefs are different. Once you leave Egypt and face the promised land, you leave the darkness and come into light. The values, the practices, the way of life, the beliefs that you had when you are here in the world, it can't follow you to that place. Because those two don't match. For instance, you leave Nigeria and you go to Canada or you go to Russia. You see, it's a new way of doing things. Or you leave Nigeria and go to England. Here, we do our driving is what? Right hand, is it right hand? Left, is it right or left? Right. You go there, it's left. If you go there, you say, I don't care. You carry your Nigerian car and begin to drive, they will arrest you straight. You come here, you beat traffic. Nobody says anything to you. You go there, you beat traffic. They will be, you will pay for it. Have you noticed that in some of those countries, when police want to arrest you, the police is not shouting with you. The police is not quarreling with you. Because the policemen have been trained that your authority is in your uniform and the ticket. You assassinate your authority when you begin to shout over the person, because it's not what the person did. It's not you that did it. Your own job is, they want to arrest you. Say, could you step aside, sir? They even greet you, good morning. Good morning, sir. They want to arrest you. They first of all tell you. They'll read you your rights. You have a right to remain silent. You have a right to... They still respect you in that one. Here. But whenever want to catch you. So, you see, those two cultures don't go. So, those of us who are kingdom-minded, you see, we must disarm. You must disarm the culture of this world and pick up the culture of God. Now, guys, listen. In the kingdom, it is servant leadership. The person who wants to be the head must be the servant of all. Pastor Ben will say, the father is the person, you are the platform. All of us stand upon you. You are also on top. You're on top to empower, you are under to serve. My son, the father was traveling. He said, daddy, since you're traveling, I'm now the head of this house. The father said, no problem. I just want to show you 5 things you must do. Number one, when everybody will sleep first, you sleep last. So that you can come back and be sure that everywhere is locked. Number two, just in case I'm not around and they need food for that, make sure you be the one that will provide it. By the time he read him all his responses, he says, no. Because many of us are thinking about the dividends and not think about it. If a quick say, I'm the man in this relationship. The day the lion begins to shout, I'm a lion, you have assassinated your authority. In the kingdom, it is you put down the pyramid, you turn it upside down. The head becomes the one that will serve. So, for you and your boyfriend, what culture should you use? One of those cultures is culture of honor. You must honor each other's body. The way you talk to each other must show honor. In that relationship, there must be the goodness of God. You people must be able to display to people around that God is good. By the way you treat each other, by the way you respond to each other. In that relationship, you must be able to take risk in the things that have to do with you, and you must be able to empower each other to reach your destiny. I can go on and on and on and on and on. In that relationship, there's the culture of righteousness. Righteousness is the nature of God. Not only is righteousness the nature of God, that's imputed righteousness. Listen, I'm talking about conducting yourself in such a manner that when they come around you, they see heaven. So you that want to get into relationship as a kingdom person is different. So what are the point of differences? I could just take one or two for men. And then when we, I say men are, on the whole, men are achievement oriented, solution focused, goal oriented. If something happens in this room now, let's imagine that there is fire outbreak in this room. How will the man, some men, not all, how will the man behave? There are some men, if fire happens, they're the first to run. There are some men, when it is time to pay school fees, they will run away from the house. When school fees are finished, they'll come back. But on the whole, if there is a fire outbreak in this house, how will the man behave? How will the woman behave? If the year is ending, some women will be thinking about Christmas dress, Christmas shoe, Christmas this. Some men will be thinking about how to complete the village project they started. You switch the other way, there are some women who have developed themselves. Listen to me. I have upgraded this measure to say, in every man there is a woman, in every woman there is a man. So you must be able to develop those two parts of you in such a way that you're in your Elohistic nature. When it is time for us to bring out the man, we pull out the man. When it is time for us to pull out the woman, we pull out the woman. We must be able to. You can't be a sissy everywhere. Everywhere. There are times we need you to be strong. There are times we need you to stand up and still maintain your femininity. You know why my husband can allow me to do all of this? I'm very submissive. I don't take submission, finish up. Now this one you say make me do. Oh yeah, now make me do. But I will not submit to a Jesus who will not love me. Last point. They say all men need acceptance, trust, admiration, appreciation. What do women need? Men, what do you think women need? If you need acceptance, what does a woman need? Does a woman need attention? Does a woman need rejection? Because sometimes some of us are very self-centered. And some of us learn this self-centeredness at home. Where you were growing up, your baby sees your daughter, the daughter in the home. She will be the one that will sweep. She will even wash your clothes. Give you food. Then, listen, without any systems and structure, someone wrongly trained you that you're a king without a kingdom. Now that you're married, it's only your wife and four children that are at home. It would be very wicked to be a king without a kingdom. The children answer your name. The children don't answer my name. There must be things. I want to use the opportunity to address every man in the house. Times have changed. The word of God remains the same. Who was the one that washed the feet of the disciples' kingdom? The master, the husband of the house. Jesus said he's the husband of the church. The husband took out towel, tied it around his waist, and began to wash the feet of the wife. We are in a time where kingdom-minded men will begin to show other people how to date a girl properly. Because she's Jesus' princess and you are Jesus' prince. And because, before you shout, say, are they the righteous? If the girl is rushing you, don't take advantage of her. You know why? The world doesn't know how to date. You are the one that will show them how to date. We'll pick it up from here next time. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.